across every state of India, across 125 countries, across political, religious, racial, geographic and linguistic divide, across social and cultural barriers. What compels millions to step forward and reach out to complete strangers in need? Since 1940, when the 14-year-old Satya declared his divine mission, a silent revolution has emerged from a heart that preaches only one language, that of unconditional love. Through his massive service projects, Bhagwan Baba has redefined spirituality as social activism, responsible charity and conscientious citizenship. Be it a service project in remote Andhra Pradesh or at a slum in Zimbabwe, volunteers from all backgrounds are transforming our world by serving in the name of Sai.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to an episode of Serving in the Name of Sai, Sinos as we call it in the studios. I have with me two guests from the city of Mumbai, Mr. Shiv Kumar Vishwanathan, affectionately called as Shibu, and Sister Sucharita Kari. Both of them are active Sai youth from this metropolitan city, and Shibu in fact has been part of the Dindi Yatra to Prashanthi Nilayam from Dharmavaram. He's so happy about it, he's just smiling now. Today is actually Ashadi Ekadasi Day, June 30th, 2012, and it's really wonderful that we have both of them here in the studio to talk about Sai service activities in Mumbai. Welcome Shibu and Sister Sucharita to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you, Sairam.
Thank you, Sairam.
So let's get started. Shibu, tell us, how and when did you really get involved with the Sai organization and the Sai youth of Mumbai?
Well, it's not that a long story. I got involved with the Sai organization in 1997. At that time, I just actually finished my engineering and I got into the youth wing. And my main task at that time as a youth worker was mainly actually in bhajan singing.
Mm-hmm.
And also I used to be involved with all the seva activities that used to, happen in the samiti.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in 2001 that I would say put me on the path to seva, as mm-hmm. it were.
Mm-hmm.
Because when at that time, like actually Shri Nimish Pandya, who took over as the district president for Mumbai, he wanted to do something, and he was concerned that there are so many activities that are happening, there are so many people who are doing wonderful work, but we don't know about it because mm-hmm. it doesn't get reported anywhere, it doesn't get captured.
A lot of people in their individual capacity, yes, also doing a lot of, yes, work apart from what is being done in an organized, yes, basis by the organization.
Yes, absolutely. So he wanted that if we could somehow capture this information and put it across in a newsletter, so that it will inspire others maybe to come forward or maybe to even like actually take up a common cause, as it were. So I still remember that it was a July day in Dharmakshetra. We were in a meeting and he was basically discussing with all the youth, and he just raised the question that who would like to volunteer to bring out a newsletter that would really capture the essence of all the service activities that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I don't know, I just put my hand up and we were four of us put our hands up.
Wonderful.
So, and that was how we actually started work on a newsletter. So it was titled Yes.
Yes.
Hmm. It actually stood for Youth in Eternal Seva or Service.
Wonderful. So you started off documenting service activities.
But it has been an amazing experience,
yes,
in the last decade, that when you really see the kind of activities that are happening both at individual level
nice,
and also at the samiti level, it's amazing the kind of dedication. All these seva activities also require a lot of resources sometimes.
Absolutely.
Which are not within the means of the people who want to do it, but somehow things fall into place, and
always,
and as long as you have that commitment, I'm,
yes,
sure he takes it.
Yes, Swami always mentioned that if you have a pure intention, everything else will be taken care of, especially in India, where Swami always emphasized that India is that land, that Punya Bhumi, where if you have a pure intention, just go ahead. Yes. He will do the rest. So let's come to Sucharita, sister. Tell us your journey to yes. You are part of yes, right?
Recently, yes.
Okay. So yes, let's get started about your story of being involved in the Sai Youth in Mumbai.
My story is a little longer than Shibu's, but because I've been a Balvika student, it was not new to me doing service, but it never occurred to me that even I can do service till I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was sometime in late 80s. I was just out of 10th standard. And Swami had come to Bombay in May. And in one of the discourses, he had said that, Bombay has so many people, thousands of people, but see here, we just have a handful of people sitting in Dharmakshetra. You have to reach out to a lot of people and do a lot of service. And emphatically, he said that Sundays is the day you have to invest in service. Do not sleep in the afternoon and waste your time.
Swami said that. Yeah. Do not sleep in the afternoon.
And waste your time. And that somewhere hit me. And immediately after Swami went back, I was thinking, what can I do? And it was a time when I was involved in some activities like bhajans. But then our samiti was just starting a hospital visit. Like going to the municipal hospital where people are just left by most of the relatives who don't have money, and parents and old people, they're just left. So we thought as a samiti, let's just go and speak to them. Maybe we can't do a lot of monetary help to them, but just being a shoulder for them to help and whatever medicines we can buy and help them in that way. And I started doing that seva, and believe me, it was on a Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, which is decided for the seva, and it hit me what Swami had said, that do not sleep on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah.
And that's where I began my seva, and it was a time when I was just getting into college, so a lot of my friends used to think Sunday is the time to go out for movies or enjoy.
Mm.
But then I, somehow, by Swami's grace, was quite committed to this activity, and every Sunday afternoon I ended up in the hospital, and I got the essence of what a seva gets. So much of satisfaction and so much of love that you can't explain to others, especially the youth who are not enrolled into these kind of activities. But it was a good start.
Good. So you just kept saying to yourself, yes, this is the way. This is the way for me. And you eventually got involved with Yes also, the magazine.
Yes, I mean, I've been in a lot of activities through so many years. But recently, last 1 year, I've been involved in Yes. It's been, earlier it was just restricted to Bombay.
Yeah.
But now we have, opened it up to the entire state. So we do it in English and Marathi both.
Okay. So if someone wants to access this magazine and read about these service activities in Mumbai, how can he do it?
Right now, we mail the PDFs to people who are on our mailing lists, and we have a link on Facebook for Yes also. And we have a SriSathyasai.in website where we have a Yes subdomain. So it's SriSathyasai.in/yes.
Okay.
So you can access the PDF file.
SriSathyasai.in/yes. Wonderful. That's beautiful. So a lot of documentation happens in Yes, and today probably you should share with us what you document in this Yes magazine. Shibu, tell us the different initiatives that the Sai Youth of Mumbai have been engaged with in the last couple of years.
Yes. In fact, over the last 10 years, after having to document the seva activities that happens, I've come across quite a few of them, but there are a few of them that are, I wouldn't say unconventional, but they really stand out in the sense that it was actually championed by an individual, and now it has grown into a much, much bigger activity. The first one I can think of is very imaginatively titled actually as Bol Bindas.
Okay.
Now,
that'll really go well with the youngsters.
Yeah.
You should explain what is Bol Bindas.
It's called BBC.
Yeah, it's called BBC. So it's actually called
you
the Bol Bindas
it well.
Classes.
I don't know what the activity is, but it's really packaged well.
So the bowl obviously means to say.
Yeah.
Bindas is actually a Mumbai slang.
Yes.
Where you are actually overflowing with confidence. So
yes.
that's
you're
the
Bindas guy, you can do anything.
Yeah, you can do anything.
We call it overconfidence.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, but this class the Bindas activity is channelized in a very positive way.
Yes.
The starting point for this Bol Bindas class is almost about 6 years ago when on one night when an uncle was driving across town and he saw the children who are from the slum areas, they were actually preparing for their board examinations under the street light. So he felt that can the Sai Samiti do something for these children? So what was done over the next fortnight of their board examinations, that the volunteers used to just take tea and biscuits, and they used to promptly land at the garden at about 12 in the night. And they used to just, spend about 20-25 minutes with the children. They used to give them tea and snacks, and they used to just give a few words of encouragement, talk to them.
Yes.
And that continued for about 15 days, and they were curious to know who are these people who are coming and giving us this and encouragement and tea and snacks and all that. And at the end of the board exam time, it was also found or it was thought that now after exams, what next? These children have got very limited options. Obviously, they have got a lot of economical issues, and the environment in which they are makes it very easy for them to go into the bad company.
Yes.
So it was decided that we should have some kind of a follow-up program or a class whereby we could engage these children.
These children are from the slums, you mentioned.
These children are from the slums. And the biggest issue for the children at this age is of actually self-confidence. This is due to many issues. One is that they are not able to speak English, which fortunately or unfortunately is the way in which you need, I mean, you need to have a good English speaking if you have to get anywhere.
In today's times. In India.
So it was decided, why not have a class that will aim to build their self-confidence?
Yes.
And so actually one of the ways to do that was to be able to train them in English. But unlike a standard English speaking class, this class is a little unique in the sense that it is totally informal. And I would just like to share a few mantras of this class, which every student has to swear by.
Mm-hmm.
The first mantra is actually, so what next?
So what next?
So what next? So even if you have any kind of problems, or even if you come across failures, just move on. Okay, so what? Okay, so what's next now?
Okay, so that's so learn to just tide over the challenges of life.
Yes, and another one is to actually get up, and then you have to dress up, and then you have to show up.
Okay.
No matter what, you have to be there.
Get up, dress up, and show up
every day.
Always be brave to take on what comes.
So
wonderful.
So this is the mantra, and a few unique aspects about this class is
it goes so well with Binda's character.
So this class happens, from 5 to 7:30 every Sunday evening in a suburb of Mumbai, Chembur, and it happens in a sort of an abandoned shed, which was gifted to us by somebody.
Wonderful.
And in this class, there are a few rules that all the children are made to wear actually suits and tie.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, we have provided suits and tie, and this is something that that actually reinforces their confidence.
Yes.
And in every class, they are also made to read from actually the newspapers. They have to explain to us what are the current affairs that are happening in the world. And they also have to give maybe a 2-minute speech or a 3-minute speech on any topic. And believe me, I have personally worked with these children for the last 7 to 8 months. And I can remember a particular student, his name is Praveen, all of, I think, 15 or 16 years, very shy and totally lost, out of place. I mean, he must be wondering what I am doing here, and just quiet. And over the period when he started opening up, and today, it's very difficult to make him sit down. I mean, it just goes on and on. And the class also encourages, it takes the students outdoors. Like 3 months ago, we took the students to an actual boardroom in a company.
Corporate boardroom.
And we made them interact with the owners of the company. And they had prepared 2 to 3 minute speeches, and they spoke. And this guy, Praveen, was amazing. I mean, the way he spoke on such profound topic, I think it was unity of religions. And there was, he actually spoke on Swami's quote, like there's only one religion and that of humanity.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult topic for a 16-year-old, and he did an amazing job, and even the company owners were very, very happy. So it was a very happy moment for us also. So it's been an amazing experience.
I think you must have also been a witness to many touching scenes working with these children.
Yes, these children come from very, very difficult backgrounds. Sometimes the domestic harmony in their families not at all there, and typically you have actually the alcoholic father issue or these kind of issues. So they come from such difficult backgrounds, and I still remember like there was a girl and she was to give a 3-minute talk. This was about family and festivals. And she started speaking, and then in the middle she just stopped, and she just, she couldn't continue, and she just started crying. And then she said that in my own house things are so bad, I don't know, and I'm speaking here about family and festivals, and somehow, so we all actually consoled her, and then she actually recovered from that, and then she went on to make a speech. So that's something very, very I can still remember
confidence. She got that confidence.
Yes. And this class over the last 5 years, as you can imagine, that students keep on changing once they are there for a year or two, and then they get a job, so then they go out. But the amazing thing that these students have been recommending the class to their peers and their friends, so people still keep on coming in, and there have been very good stories about how students have now started appearing for the IAS. And there is this particular student who is now aspiring to be a musician.
Wonderful.
So these people have taken steps in their career which probably would have been too high a barrier for them in the normal course, and most importantly, this class engages them, teaches them the values, and keeps them away from the bad company and the other undesirable elements that are always waiting to take over.
I know.
So it's been an amazing experience.
Wonderful. Sister Sucharita, you want to add to this or move on to another activity?
Yeah, he was speaking, I was reminded of another very hot, very seva, which was very close to me, was the computer classes at Dharmakshetra. So this was in the 90s, where we started that was the time computers was just getting the name and people were knowing about it. But not everyone could afford like they can do now. So we had these computer classes in Dharmakshetra, and we had started it only for the underprivileged people. So it was not a very hi-fi course, we were just teaching the basics of computers and Microsoft Office. So very first class, it was destined that I take it. And wonder of wonders, when I reached the class, not one person knew even a single word of English.
Oh my God. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that. And believe me, Swami made me do the entire class in Marathi, including showing what's a keyboard, what's an operating system. I still don't know how I did it. But that class was something amazing. And after that, I knew what to expect from the audience. At the very first class, I didn't know how the audience would be. And then so we started building up our lesson plans in vernacular language and started helping them. But even today, we discontinued the service after people started getting more access to people. But those 2 or 3 years which we did, every Sunday I was like dedicated to teach computers there. And it taught me so many things, like how people live life. And we as youth are coming from not so bad backgrounds and good families. We got to see so many youth from the other end of the spectrum, and they used to be so touched to come to a class which is free, and we used to give them tea and all that, and we could see that Swami is touching their life through the computer classes. And even today, like, I meet some watchmen whose children have studied with me, and they are so touched and so grateful that this service has changed their lives, because some of them made their careers, you know, not
after that. They build their careers from there. Wonderful.
May not be very big jobs, but you know, something like a computer operator. And for their level, you know, getting 5,000 rupees is a very big thing.
I know.
And if this skill has touched their life, I think that has been one of my most touching experiences with Seva. And it's something which youth can do easily.
Yes.
Even today, there are so many people who want to learn computers, or even elderly people.
Yes.
They struggle to communicate with their children who are staying abroad because they don't have any means of communicating. So even small services like this, I think we can go about
fantastic
and do it.
Yeah, and today if you don't know computer, you are illiterate.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Shibu, I think there are a lot more activities.
Yeah, I mean, if we start talking, maybe we could go on and on for a long time.
I know, we can keep talking about one activity, but I want you to go on and narrate other activities.
Okay, there is this another activity which was started recently, just as an idea, is to take forth actually the ceiling on desires thought that has been advocated by Swami many decades ago.
Yes.
So this ceiling on desires, of course, everybody knows, but how do you actually put it into practice and how do you connect it with actually seva? Mm-hmm. That was an interesting spin on that, and the idea was that, okay, you implement a ceiling on desires by either by restricting an activity that you normally do in the course of your routine, or you may also stop doing it. For example, suppose if you are in the habit of actually giving your clothes for ironing, so maybe you could do the ironing yourself, and then whatever money you save, that's a ceiling on desires. Or if you take a cab, maybe you could actually walk. So this will again save. And how it is put into practice is that, like, actually whatever you save out of implementing the ceiling on desires activity, if you can contribute or if you can utilize it in a seva of your choice, so that really completes the circle. Like so you can actually undertake a ceiling on desires, and then whatever you save out of it, you put it in an activity of your choice. And to give you an example of how this idea was taken up, we couldn't even imagine how people would actually respond and take this up. Is we got a feedback from a lady who was working for a bank, and she used to commute in Mumbai from Thane to Fort, and that means like north to south in Mumbai. Mm-hmm. A good 30-40 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine going by cab every day back and forth 40 kilometers is a lot of money. So when she was introduced to this concept, and she felt, okay, I will take the cab for half the distance, and then I'll take a bus.
Okay.
And if you are in Mumbai, you know it's not an easy task getting into a bus.
I know.
So a lot of discomfort, but she did that for a month, and whatever amount that she saved, she went with our volunteers to the Tata Cancer project that is run by the Sai Samiti, where the volunteers take care of the basic food needs of the cancer patients and their relatives who are practically on the footpaths. And when she could utilize her money to buy milk, let's say, for a cancer child patient, and that made all the difference. And she said that whatever discomfort that I felt by going by the bus, it's all worth it. So this was a practical spin given to the ceiling on desires, that she implemented it, and then she could actually utilize that to do seva. And there are various such similar things. Like there have been students from a school who said that we will not visit the fast food. We will not eat pizza or burgers for a month, and whatever money we save out of that will be utilized for seva. Some people have also said that we will do actually a carpool instead of taking individual cars, and whatever money we save out of that, we will give for seva. So that,
yeah, I know.
This is a...
People, innovative ways, innovative how ways. To... I mean, this is such a win-win situation in a manner of sorts, because we know how the resources of the earth are being stretched.
Yes. Okay.
So that way you are helping nature, you are helping yourself, you are helping someone else.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
I would just like to touch upon that cancer hospital,
sure,
that he was talking about. So the people who are served are not really beggars. There are many people who come from outside Bombay, because that's one of the hospitals in India which offers free treatment for cancer, one of the very few hospitals. So a lot of people come, and the relatives obviously also have to come with the patient. So they're forced to stay outside. They don't have any place to go, neither they have the money to afford it. So if you, I hope you not, but if you ever go that side, you can see that a lot of people stay on the streets.
Hmm.
So one samiti decided that they'll give them food one day of the week. But when this idea was extended to all the samitis in Mumbai, everyone offered that in spite of their working hours on a weekday, or the difficulties faced. Today, all the 7 days, all these patients are given food in the evenings by each samiti. So all the 7 days, some or the other samiti is doing a Narayan Seva. It's not just like a Sunday Seva. So you can imagine.
How many people are being served?
I think there are about 350 people. I may be wrong on this, but minimum I know it's about 300 people who are served food. So every evening one samiti takes up the responsibility. It's allocated now. That each samiti will do seva. So a weekday in Bombay is a very difficult day actually, if you know a working week. So people leave their houses like 7:30 in the morning and come back anytime after 9.
Because a lot of time goes in commuting.
Traveling.
Yeah.
In spite of this, it's really amazing for me to see that one samiti per day goes, and this happens 365 days in a year.
Wonderful.
So I think this is where some of the youth have also very actively taken part, and you can see in the evenings that, you know, wherever they are, they'll go. If that is their day of seva, they'll surely go and at least do the serving part of it, if not you know, actually cooking the food or doing like that. So that's another nice seva that happens in Mumbai.
Wonderful. Talking about this Tata Cancer Seva, you were also mentioning when we were talking before that there is some service that you are doing along with a Muslim social service organization.
Yes. So very recently, again, maybe in the last 6 months, there is a social service organization in Mumbai, near Fort in Mumbai, that runs a dialysis center. As you know, the cost of dialysis, again, for people who need to do it on a regular basis, can be quite prohibitive. So this center offers at about 290 or 300 odd rupees a dialysis. And when like we saw that center, there were again a lot of poor patients coming from actually long distances. So we thought, why not do like actually breakfast Narayan Seva. So what happens here is that the samiti reaches at about 7 o'clock in the morning with a, I mean, you also have to be careful regarding the kind of food that you can provide, because
yes,
there are certain restrictions. So once having got the approval from the doctors, so the samiti visits the center every Monday, Wednesday, as of now, and I think as and when more volunteers join in, probably we'll be able to extend that also. So it goes in the morning, and then it actually provides breakfast. And we have had an excellent feedback from the doctors that they are very happy that somebody is coming like this, and then they are able to spend some time with the patients also.
The patients and as well as the patient attendants.
Attendant is not an issue here. And another, again, spin-off from the Ceiling on Desires is there have been people who have contributed with whatever they have saved under the Ceiling on Desires to help actually facilitate the dialysis of a patient. So
okay, so the one service activity connected with other.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So this is something that's been happening, and we have received a very, very good feedback. And again, in all these activities, there are also individual cases where somebody who's coming from very far off may be having certain difficulties, and then always the local samiti can then actually tie in and then see what more can be done to help that individual or that family.
Who's coming outside Mumbai?
Yeah,
outside Mumbai. Yeah.
Just like this breakfast Narayan Seva, there's one samiti, I mean, that team member is also in the Yes team with us, and they do something like a tea Narayan Seva in the morning. So they find a lot of people on the streets. And especially on wintry cold mornings when we are enjoying our cup of tea at home, one of them thought, why not Sundays at least, we go with flasks of hot tea and serve it on the road. So they did it one Sunday, and people were like amazed, why are they giving us tea early in the morning, tea and some biscuits. They go like really early, 6:37, with hot tea in the flasks. Not many people, but about 10-11 people go around in the streets giving tea, and it's become a very nice seva there, and people now look forward to that hot tea coming in the morning.
Wonderful.
So very small things, but
I know, but every little thing gives you so much fulfillment, and it definitely does make a difference. You know, you have that famous story of the starfish. There's a boy who's just throwing starfishes back to the sea, and someone asks him, you know, what big difference does it make? There are so many starfishes here, and then he says that it does make a difference to that particular fish, to that particular old man who was shivering. It does make a difference. Yeah.
In fact, that's been my experience, at least over the last decade, that especially in a city like Mumbai, you have so many issues. Just look around you.
I know.
Have umpteen opportunities.
I know.
And from all these examples, Seva does not need to conform to any prescribed format. As if you see an opportunity, you can just go for it, and then you have this wonderful Sai community to actually back up your effort and then really to take it to the next level.
Wonderful. When we were talking about looking after patient attendance in this Tata Cancer Hospital, I was just reminded of what goes on here also. I also discovered this only sometime recently. All the patient attendants who come to the super specialty hospital here, earlier there was no provision for their food. If you are a patient, you are served by the hospital. The hospital dietary provides food for you. And the patient attendants, if they stay with the patient, only one of them gets to stay. And the others stay outside. And there is a canteen for them. But they still have to pay in the canteen. Once you are an inpatient, then the hospital looks after all your needs. Now, there are these patients who come from so far off places, from Northeast. You have people, from Orissa and Bihar. And these are people who do not actually have the money to even come. Many times you have occasions when they have sold their land or, something to come. I know of so many patients like that who have sold their property and land to just make the journey. And now what they have started here is they do Narayan Seva every day for patient attendance.
Okay.
So anybody can sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Any devotee can decide that today I will provide food to all the patient attendants. So that way the patient is looked after by the hospital and the patient attendants are looked after by eager devotees who want to help. So this is something which is going on in this hospital. And when I figured that, I was so motivated. So one day I said, okay, let me do it. So because it's a joy, because, as I stood there and I was serving the lunch session that day, and, I was just trying to see a spectrum of people. Yeah, they're all very, they definitely come from such a weaker section of society, It makes so much difference when we really reach out. Wonderful. And Suchirita sister, I wanted to ask you about another very famous project, because I've heard about it so much, but we never got a chance to really document it so much, about this water project that goes on in Mumbai.
Yes, so as you know, there's a lot of drought in Maharashtra, and under the VIP program with the village integrated program, it was decided that we'll improve the lives of our brothers and sisters living in the villages. So some of the youth got together in Mumbai and thought that if not far-flung places, you won't believe, as close as 30 kilometers from Panvel, which is very close to Bombay, or 50 kilometers from Bombay, there are villages who don't have a drop of water to drink. So we, having a good platform called the Satya Sai organization, we could see both sides of the society, where we see on one hand people spending lakhs on hotel bills, and the other hand people not having a drop of water for their daily needs. So a lot of us also work in corporates. So we approached our own people, and under the CSR schemes we thought, why not take up the water projects?
CSR is the corporate social responsibility. Yeah. Every company is mandated,
bound to
do some social
something.
So
luckily for us, some of the big banks, they agreed to join hands with us. But of course, they had their conditions and we had our own things. But we came to a common understanding, and for three or four villages, we had very successful liaising with the corporates. And places where I specifically work in the villages that our samiti has adopted. So people used to travel, the ladies of the houses, they used to trek down from one village almost 3-4 kilometers for one pail of water. And the children used to miss school because the mothers expected that the children help them in the house. So the girls were obviously left out from education, because the girls are naturally expected to help the mother. So that way the rate of education also was very poor in these villages. So after the water project is implemented, the lives have not only improved because water is now available almost at the doorstep. It's not like every house has a tap, but they have something known as a tappa, which is a common place for water. So in a village, even if you have 7 to 8 tapas, then the whole village is happy because everyone gets water at their own place. And with this, the children are now free, so they go to the schools, and their rate of education has also increased quite a lot. During the water project inaugurations, we also take one or two places, we took the employees of the banks, and they were so surprised and shocked that, you know, just 30 kilometers away from house, how people are living, it was an eye-opener for them. And now they are more than happy to associate with us and work on water projects. And the interesting part is the entire laying of the pipe and getting water, the village is also involved. So it's not like somebody is doing all the work. They are involved in the digging part, and we involve them in many stages of the water
project.
They
own it. They feel proud of it.
They feel proud of it. And then it's... if anything goes wrong, they just can't blame anyone because they are involved in the project themselves. So that is a very heartening thing to see. And then we have the inauguration. It's like a festival in the whole village. And all the village clusters get together, and it's such a happy moment for them to see, you know, a basic thing like water coming to them. In one of the villages, we did solar lamps. So the entire village was dark, and I think Brother Shibu can speak more about it because he was involved closely in that.
This was a village again in the Panvel area named Yermal. So what happened was the electricity lines reached about 2 kilometers before the village and stopped. So, and there was no indication from the government authorities when it would come, and this had been the status for more than 2 to 3 years, that no electricity. So in that place, which is in the middle of, it's surrounded by mountains and all that, after 6 in the evening, it's pitch dark. So we did a survey and installed solar lamps. And this was a little different in the sense we installed a solar panel on the roof, and we gave sort of 2 to 3 lights in every room inside the village. So it is not like a traditional solar lantern, but more like a fixed electricity and with 3 or 4 lights in every house. And that has made a lot of impact.
Wonderful.
Again.
Wonderful.
I would also like to touch a little bit on this water project.
Sure.
So in March, I had an opportunity to actually visit the village of Palasdari. That's again in the same area. And a water project was done almost 3 years back in this village. And the lives of the villagers have been actually been transformed. Like today you can actually see the prosperity in the village. There was a serious problem of actually alcohol in that village, which was practically like actually stunting their development, and no money, and they used to just barely make ends meet by gathering some firewood. And today I can see actually pakka houses with tiles, and they have been actually vocationally trained over the last 2-3 years when the Sai Samiti used to go there. So there are now multiple sources of income. They are seriously thinking, like when I asked the father, he says that I want to send my child to the best school. Wow. Which was something unthinkable 3-4 years ago. And another villager, he actually dragged me to his house, and so he actually showed me a barrel which was full of rice now. And he said that just a few years ago it used to be full of alcohol.
So, oh my God.
So
wonderful.
So amazing transformation. What one facet, that is by getting water, it really makes a lot of difference in India.
And I'm sure what you have documented or what you have known is still very little of what actually has happened.
And I would just like to add another anecdote here to the same village. As I was finishing my interview, and so this village is located on the top of a hill, and as we were walking down, so I just bumped into the Anganwadi teacher. Anganwadi means it is actually a government appointed teacher for every village. And we were just talking, and she was just generally telling how the village has improved. And then she says to me that, I have seen your Baba here. So I said, I think you are mistaken, because Swami has not come to this village as far as I know. She said, no, I have seen Baba. So then I asked her when. So she is now maybe 45-50. She says, when I was a 5-year-old or 6-year-old child, Baba has come here. In fact, his convoy came near the village and they stopped for tea.
Oh, so it's a physical issue.
Physically. So she says, I have seen him. So that was like an amazing insight that Swami has been here almost 40, 50 years ago. And then
wonderful. It's
on the lighter side in the villages, because all of us as Indians love cricket, sometimes we also have this Sai Unity Cups in the villages.
In the villages.
So, the commentary is based totally on human values. But the children just love to play cricket, or we have sports day in some of the villages. Mm. And for the elders, we have a lot of, like we have in Parthi,
yes.
For the old people, lemon and spoon. And
yes.
It's so much fun because it gets all the villages together.
Mm.
And you can see really that harmony of what we talk.
Bonding.
Mm. Bonding and harmony in the world. It's at least in a small platter, we see it in the villages through these games. So, Unity Cup is really
wonderful. In fact, these villages are really blessed, and actually, very recently, I should share this because it just came to me that there was this, like also the Samiti organizes actually the mass marriages.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was a mass marriage function organized this was actually in Chinchmal village, which was also the recipient of one of the first water projects more than maybe 6-7 years ago.
How many villages have we touched with this water project?
Eight
villages. Okay.
So, in this village, there was the mass marriage was going on, and one of the drivers of the ambulance, so since actually Maharashtra state has got the mobile Medicare facility, so one of the drivers of the ambulance, unfortunately, he couldn't be there for the function since he was driving back and forth. And by the time he actually reached the village, it was close to aarti time because the marriage was over. So he thought, okay, I have actually missed the function, but let me at least take a photograph. So he took out his mobile, and as he was taking the photograph, he actually saw Swami walking across the frame.
He saw that?
He saw Swami walking across the frame, and he clicked it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can very clearly see the image of Swami on the photograph. He's actually walking past the dais when the aarti is happening.
Wonderful.
So,
I think you mentioned an incident, first of how Swami was physically there in the village. And I think he's all the time there whenever you do service. I think it is the experience of every seva group that once you start doing his work, things start falling in place, and then in some way you feel his presence.
When I was starting with the computer classes, I got the statement from a friend of mine, which I always remember, that you find your purpose, the means will follow.
Yes.
So, I think it's very true in everything that you do.
Yes.
You know what your purpose is. Whatever the means, I don't know from where, they just fall into your plate.
Yes.
I was actually share my experiences with another very, very touching and very, very moving. I mean, it's not a seva, but it's something that's so, so touching, is that the Samiti, they work very closely with the remand home.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a government remand home, and houses about 200 children, 200 boys and maybe 100 girls, right from the age group of 3 to 4 right up to 15. And once they are past 15, 16, then they are sent to another juvenile home. Now, the background of these children is that many of the children's parents are in actually jail. They are they must have been tried for some crime and they are in jail. So, nobody to look after the children, they are here. And many other children are also abandoned. They might have either been abandoned, or they might have actually lost their parents somewhere in Mumbai. You know how crowded Mumbai is. So many of them are actually found on the platforms, and then the police sends them here. So the Sai Samiti goes there on a monthly basis. They engage with the children. They teach them bhajans, conduct something like a Bal Vikas. And even on certain very festive occasions like Deepavali, they spend a day with the children. But it was noticed that some of the children always used to keep on crying. They are just maybe 5 years, 6 years, can't express. They don't want food. They don't want anything. They don't want any social interaction. They'll just keep on crying, crying, crying. And when we ask them why is it so, then the wardens, they say that they obviously want to go back home. But there is no way that these children can go back home. Well, how do we start? I mean, where do we start? Because the children can't even express themselves, so how? But we decided, okay, let us have some interpreters who can speak the language, or let us spend some time with the children, make them comfortable so that they open up, and try and get as much information from them as possible. And you wouldn't believe it, in more than 6 cases, the information, although which was very sketchy, some uncle, or they say my house is next to some big tree, or even that kind of information, but somehow by actually working with them, we were actually able to reunite 6 children with their parents.
Wow,
yes.
Wonderful. And it has been such a moving experience.
It's really, I mean, when you see the kind of trauma that these children go through, it's no wonder that they are not able to speak at all. But then it really brings actually tears to your eyes. There have been cases where we haven't been able to make any breakthrough, but
effort is on.
We will be able to. But it also involves a lot of legal work. You need to be able to get the release of the child from the courts. And like actually an amazing thing in this is also, once we get the information that this child may be from this area, then we actually try and connect with the Sai Samiti of that area, so that those local volunteers are able to go there and get us some information. And in certain cases we have also like actually arranged the tickets, and I remember in one case even they arranged actually a flight ticket. So
wonderful.
This is something that really stays in my mind when I look at that.
Same thing in the remand home. The ones who don't have their families or don't get their families, they go to school. So it becomes very difficult for them to study in the 10th standard because the lessons are hard. So one of the samitis which I am associated with, what we do is we arrange for their classes, coaching classes, from one of the best coaching classes in Mumbai. So the teachers from who normally would charge you some X thousand rupees for a class, they come and teach them freely for the 10th standard children. This year, more than 10 to 12 people have passed with more than 75% in this remand home.
Wow.
So
wonderful.
These coaching classes also help.
Wonderful. Yeah, so there are plenty, and I think we are still not exhausted with what happens in Mumbai.
Absolutely.
It's not a bad city after all.
I think it never was. It's always a mix. With prosperity, there is always something else that tags along also. With money, there are always evil. Yeah, but with money, you also can do so much good.
Yes.
Wonderful. Finally, I think let me just ask you, of course, all the service activities, they have helped all these different recipients in such amazing way, you know, be it the Bolbandas kids or the remand home kids or the patient and the attendants. But may I ask you, you know, how it has helped you? You know, do you feel any change in the way you look at life, in your perspective of life after you've been associated with this?
Yeah, in fact, one thing that I can immediately say is that I do not actually take anything for granted anymore. I mean, every day I am actually reminded that when I see the kind of hardships that these children, and even children at the age of 3-4 undergo, I tell myself that I cannot take anything for granted. And I always feel lucky that I have had this wonderful opportunity, and whatever little that we have managed to do, I know that we still have to do much, much, much more. So it's always a reminder to stay grounded.
Yes.
if I can put it that way, that we are extremely fortunate, and we are extremely privileged to be where we are, and we have got this opportunity, and come what may, we should not leave this, and I'm sure there is scope for doing much, much more. And that's always in my mind, that whatever we do is it's actually never enough.
But it brings so much of a different perspective in your life.
Yes, absolutely.
The way you look at life.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Wonderful. Yeah, Sister Sucharita.
For me personally, I think my entire life has changed from the time I've been involved. I have been in the software industry for 14-15 years, but consciously have moved away from working full-time now, and I'm almost involved in Seva full-time. But so that has been a biggest shift for me, because giving up a career is not so easy.
I know.
But yeah, I'm trying to strike a balance even now. But then I'm tending more towards...
Something is pulling you. This is pulling you.
And for me, I always think and look at Swami, actually. because he is the embodiment of service for all of us.
Yes.
And whenever, there are times when I get very frustrated, very irritated, and lack of time and everything is urgent, and you know, that kind of a thing in an organization where you don't have strict procedures. So at that time I just close my eyes and I tell Swami that everything is for you. You please make it, do the way you want to do. If you want the best, make me do the best.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at him and the number of projects he's done. I think we are not even doing micromilli of whatever he's done. So that is the biggest inspiration and that keeps me going, I think.
Fantastic. As you mentioned, Swami, I just cannot reflect on this thing. You know, if you just look at Swami's life, it is so fantastic because right from the time of his advent, you know, 85, 86 years, I mean, he's one person who constantly thought only about others.
Yes.
I mean, that is such a fantastic thing. Just that one thing is like a colossus of inspiration for us. I remember once Brother Satyajit was sharing this, how Swami is all the time concerned about others, because he had the chance to actually see Swami even in a very close quarters, not only here to hear those declarations of announcements that we hear on the mic about K-Water Project, mm-hmm. or starting a super speciality hospital, but even in this normal conversations, like when Swami was underwent a surgery for his hip in 2003, he had a fall, and then Swami was brought to the Trai Vrindavan after the surgery, and Brother Satyajit and few others, they were actually carrying Swami on a stretcher to his room immediately after the operation, and he figured that Swami wanted to say something, you know, so he went closer. Maybe Swami wanted his position to be shifted, you know, so that he's more comfortable or something. So he went closer, and Swami told him, "You see, there are 4 or 5 doctors who have come. Just ensure that, you know, they are looked after. They get their tea or whatever." Biscuits or whatever snacks. I mean, he was totally struck. I mean, he's just had this major operation, just coming back from the hospital. He's in a stretcher. But the only thing that comes to Swami's mind is, just look after this few other people who have come. I mean, if you look at every single instance in Swami's life, you know, you will find this perspective.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
And when you listen to this, all you can say is yes. I mean, that is what is my life. Mm-hmm. That is what I have got to do if I have to find that fulfillment in my life. Wonderful, Brother Shibu and Sister Sucharita, for sparing your time.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Pleasure.
It's really yeah. Finally, did you ever think that you'll when you come to Prashant in Ilam, Bishu will pick you up and bring you to the studio and you'll be sharing all this on Radio Sai Studios?
No, in fact, I mean, I was just sharing this, that this is an amazing coincidence. Even the interview or Radio Sai was not even in my zone when I came to Parthi. And again, it is through like a happy coincidence of getting actually Krishnan and who just introduced me.
Yes.
And even at that time, I didn't think that I would be doing this interview. So,
he's working all the time in different mysterious ways. So anyway, I'm really glad that this happened. And thank you so much. I hope you enjoy it too.
Thank you.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. You just heard another episode of Serving in the Name of Sai. Stories of Sai Seva from across India and the world. Thank you for joining us today, and please do send your feedback on this program. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Sai Ram from Prashanthinilayam.